Welcome to the Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration. Eurospace Hub aims to digitally connect the space ecosystem in Europe, from tech transfer offices to industry, space accelerator networks, research centers, and other universities. Eurospace Hub will allow these actors to easily connect with financial opportunities, from the Horizon Europe framework to space research, space technology, and to accelerator programs. Eurospace Hub will bridge the gap between academic institutions and industry using a collaborative ecosystem and entrepreneurial mindset inside the universities and beyond. Every month, with the Eurospace Hub special episodes, we want to share stories about space technology and research with you. Enjoy the conversation.
Today, your host is Jara Pascual, founder and CEO of CollabWeek. Our guest is Professor Bernard Coyne, CEO of the Foundation Lunex Euro Moon Mars, chair of IAF Itacus, and professor of Leiden University and ex-ESA. He's talking about how, from dreaming about the stars when he was young, he's now one of the space tech leaders in Europe. Enjoy the conversation. Professor Coyne, welcome to the podcast Business of Collaboration, a special edition of Eurospace Hub.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very
welcome
good.
Welcome from the moon.
Yes, we are ready to go to the moon together. So you have your whole life in the space industry. How did you start? What was the first step you did until now? You are the managing director at the Lunex Foundation and with the Euromoon Mars Group, but as well, you are a professor at several universities. So how was your whole life in the space industry, Professor?
That's a long story, but the first step was when I was a teenager. That's how I got the space bug. When we were going with some friends in the summer, looking at stars at night. And really, I wanted to become an astronomer. I come also from a background that has suffered a lot from migration, so I wanted also to become a diplomat. So I tried to do both, become an astronomer and a diplomat. So later I studied a lot of sciences, mathematics. I started 1 year as professor of mathematics, then physics. I did a lot of music as well. So I didn't know what to select, but eventually I did science as my main profession, and the other music and politics and travel more as a hobby. So I just then did a competitive examination for entering a school in France called École Normale Supérieure. And this is a school where you are paid to study. But then you have a 10-year contract with the state that you have to give back. So I did that. I studied physics. I studied to become a professor of physics. And at the same time, also studied astrophysics. And so I did my PhD developing an experiment that we launched in space with a sounding rocket that was launched from White Sands in New Mexico. It was a collaboration with the U.S. laboratories. So in you launch a rocket and it is 10 minutes above space, the line of space, 100 kilometers, and then we obtain the best images of the sun in ultraviolet. And then you recover the experiment. And I worked for my PhD analyzing this data. And then I organized another launch campaign of another rocket. After this, I had to go at, I worked 3 years at the European Southern Observatory in Chile. So that's the international organization that is organizing astronomical observations. And then you have astronomers visiting from all parts of Europe using some of the best telescopes in the best sky. And I was helping them as a support astronomer. After this, I was nostalgic of Europe, so I returned back to a French space research laboratories where I got a permanent position, and I worked on some experiments that we prepared for the Solar Heliospheric Observatory, SOHO, but also experiments for the X-ray Observatory to observe stars and violent processes in the universe. And I did some research there. And after a few years, I was so much interested by what is happening on the European space that I applied to work at the European Space Agency. So at the ESTEC, which is the European Space Research and Technology Center, that's the main technical and science center of the European Space Agency. It's based in the Netherlands, in Noordwijk. So it's close to Leiden or close enough from The Hague and Amsterdam. And I've been working there as a staff scientist.
Your last position was at the European Space Agency. How did you enter in the ESA, and then how was your progression there?
So after I worked at this French Space Research Laboratory, I was working on some European project, and I was really eager to work for the European Space Agency. So I applied to work there first as a visiting scientist between the French laboratory and the ESA. And then I applied to be a permanent staff scientist there. Actually, I proposed the concept of a mission to launch, and then they hired me to take care of running this mission. It was a mission that we wanted to fly on the International Space Station to observe the sun and stars and planets. And then John, then the European Space Agency, as a scientist in the space department. It is a department that is providing scientific leadership for all the science mission exploring the solar system or for observing the universe. And there I became head of the solar research unit. And then I was doing some specific task, which was to study missions for the future. So I was put in charge of a study of a lunar orbiter mission. And then I proposed, we had to go through a competition for this mission with a given budget. And then we proposed a concept of a small mission for advanced research in technology. In acronym, it's SMART. And we did the SMART one, the first SMART mission. And this was a mission to demonstrate technology for future space exploration. So technology of travel with a specific engine, ion propulsion, but also miniaturization of instruments. And so I was put in charge of this project called the SMART One. This was a very intense period because we had to do this with a budget of 100 million euro and only in 3 years, while other missions in general have three times the budget and twice as much time. So we had a very intense teamwork to make this happen. And eventually we were ready to launch this mission in 2003, and then we went around the moon. And at the same time, I was a co-investigator of a project on the International Space Station and also on the Mars Express orbiter, which made also amazing discoveries about the history of water on Mars. So I've doing this for research, but also for management of a community project. And in parallel, then I was nominated as the head of the research division, so in 2000. And I was also coordinating the research of all my colleagues that were working in all areas of space science, astronomy, and planetary science. So then I followed in parallel this cursus of doing research, being in charge of a specific space mission, but also coordinating and helping the research of all the colleagues in collaboration with many institutes in Europe and worldwide. And so this allowed also to be part of some other projects where we studied concept of landers for the moon, and also we developed the concept of a moon village, so kind of a community of landers, of habitat, but also of people around the world that are dedicated to bring humanity beyond the Earth on the moon. So this is what I've done in the last 20 years, I'm very much labeled as a Moon-Mars person. Then I worked at ESA as well. In other areas, I was elected the representative of all the staff of STX, so 1,400 people. And then I looked at people's issues, people's problem, people's solution for 5 years. And so it was very good balance for my scientific and technical background. And I've learned that the science of people is much more complicated than the science of the stars and planets. And based on this, I could then fulfill some of my dream of my youth to be an astronomer, but also to be a diplomat, being part of the European Space Agency. We have 22 member countries, and de facto, you have an ambassadorship role. And actually, also at ESA, when you are at a given grade, head of division, you become a recognized diplomat, so you can talk with ambassadors. They represent their country, but we represent space. And also, we try to promote as well the role of space, what we can do with space to know better about our planet, but also to do science together, to collaborate across borders. And also, we can inspire the next generation of innovators, of entrepreneurs with space. And so we hope to have also some social benefits out of that.
You are listening to a Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration.
So this is what I did until 1 year ago when I left ESA and retired early from ESA, but I continued some of this project, like the platform we started 12 years ago called Euromoon Mars. It's a platform to train young professional or advanced professional into analyzing space data, into developing instruments for future mission, also in testing them in very extreme environment on Earth that look like the moon, Mars, or space. And so we go in places all over the world, like Hawaii or Canarias or Iceland or Etna, where tests of this instrument. And also we have developed another set of training, of astronautics training, because now it's we come to the, an age where each of us can be considered an astronaut of a spaceship Earth. So we can train and we will be able to do suborbital flight, you know, like I did my PhD with a suborbital camera. Now, the next generation will be able to fly with their own experiment in space for their PhD, but also many of us will have the opportunity to become a suborbital astronaut and then orbital astronaut. And possibly within 15, 20 years, I am looking forward to really retire on the surface of the moon in a moon base there.
I think that's an extreme. So you are going to step by step to accomplish all your dreams. So the next one, you are already, I think, set up to go.
Yes. I mean, these dreams also come out of experience. So there are some new opportunities. There are also people with whom we collaborate, like Hara. So that was, we have created this Euromoon Mars project like 12 years ago. But more recently, we wanted to add a new dimension into it, not only do science, technology, exploration, but also incorporate using data from Earth to better understand the Earth, but as well developing a platform for innovation and entrepreneurship. And here with our group, with RADA and our new project, Eurospace Hub, is something that we want to follow up and expand.
Yeah, totally. So, but as well as a professor and researcher, you are publishing research paper as well at several universities. What are your main research areas?
Yeah, so I was trained really as a research professor. And so clearly what you have to deliver is research results. And this we have to publish, otherwise we perish and we are not considered by the community. So I did that early in my career, publishing the result from what we obtained with the space mission I was involved in. I was also doing a lot of ground-based observation from many places over the world, in France, Haute-Provence Observatory, Pic du Midi, but then I went also to Canarias, to Hawaii, to Chile. We even brought some instruments that we had built in China to put on the first big telescope that they had, and we had the first light with it. So we were doing a development of instrument to obtain results, but that we could publish. And the area of science that we were covering, I did some research in solar physics, looking at activities of the sun. But also, when I was in Chile, I was looking at stars that have activity like the sun, that have coronae, that mm-hmm. have flares. And I became also a spectroscopist. So I measure the spectrum of an object. And from that, I can understand, you know, what they are made of. And in particular, we did also spectrum of the interstellar medium, so that's the space between stars. And there, we have found the largest molecules ever in space. It's a molecule that is shaped like a football with 60 carbon atoms, and we hold the record of the largest and most beautiful molecule ever found in interstellar space. I was also then into planetary science, into moon mission and Mars mission. With this study of organics in space, I contributed to the field of astrobiology, which is the search for the origin of life or the search for life elsewhere. And in particular, we look at the ingredients of life in the interstellar medium and how they are brought to the solar system. And in parallel to these scientific topics, I was always very keen also to develop technology, so technology of instrument, cameras, spectrometers, sensors, how you can put them on a spacecraft or on a lander. And I was involved then in leading or coordinating some space mission like the SMART one or contributing to experiment on the International Space Station, on Mars probes or on other observatories. And more recently, so let's say in the 15 last years, I was very focused on this topic of villages on the moon and Mars. So first robotic villages, so where various landers are built by different countries and we work together, and then human outposts and human villages. And that's now we are in the phase of human history where we are going to be able to expand and build villages on the moon and Mars. And I'm trying to look at what we can do with the classical space generation, but also the new space and the new young professional to make this happen, because this will require not only science, technology, but also business, investors, people that are doing terrestrial industries and that we can transport to the surface of the moon and Mars.
I think that's the part of innovation entrepreneurship, you know, like bringing to more business all the research. This is the super interesting part as well. You have your whole life in the space industry. What do you think are the main challenges in the industry, and as well what the industry needs now?
So in fact, the space industry first has to serve society. So we are ready to think of what are the top level goals that we assign for us as human and society. And for this, we should be guided by the 17 Sustainable Development Goals and see how we can serve these goals with space. But also there are ways, for example, to contribute with space. For instance, a challenge like global climate change. So there are ways to measure from space, and of the climate essential variables, about half of them can be measured from space. So we should mm-hmm. invest to that. But as well, I think space allows also to get some technical and societal progress. As you know, we have applications through navigation system, mm-hmm. Earth observations, telecommunications. You know, one way we could demonstrate is first make people aware that space is part of our daily life. So what we propose is that we could switch off one day all satellites, and then everybody would realize, oh my God, I cannot live without space. And then after this phase of getting people aware, we have to get them engaged. Engaged in saying that we have to trust that we have to be responsible in making development in space that are for benefit of the society. And we have to engage all in the society, also beyond the science and technology or industry or community. And so for this, it's very important that we develop a responsibility and a spirit of entrepreneurship that is guided by high values like the Sustainable Development Goals and also high values for humanity. This is good from the theoretical point of view, but we have also to be practical. So we want to develop also solutions that are more efficient, that are more innovative, that integrate some of these beneficial values. We want also more inclusiveness in the way space industry is working. And now we have a big opportunity because the society is changing. So we have to express in the space industry, you know, how the society is changing in terms of gender balance, diversity, inclusiveness. And this is a great opportunity for us because then we can harvest different minds, also hands that can work on some of our projects in a more efficient way and also in a global way.
And as well, the part of planet, of sustainability, how can be more sustainable on the green side, not the green technology?
I mentioned we have to monitor from space how to maintain the Earth green, but also we can develop technologies in space, because in space we have to be very effective. Yep. For instance, we developed some technologies to grow plants in space with a control of the environment, temperature, pressure, humidity, which makes the yield of what we grow 40 times better than on Earth. So we could learn about to expand. And so we have created a movement, it's called World Space Food Movement. Well, we learn from what we do in space and we can implant it in extreme places on Earth, which really need to have a better yield in food, but also a better sustainable footprint. And so that's something, of course, where you have knowledge, technologies, but we need also the people locally to be involved into that, engaged.
If you want to be part of the European space innovation ecosystem in a digital format, go to our website to read more information about how to join. www.eurospacehub.com.
Technologies from space could be for the sustainable the planet used, for instance, in places they have no water.
Yeah.
Or energy problems, or I think the hard and tough environments that space is bringing and all the technology we have for this kind of environments could be applied very much into the Earth. So that's, I think, one of the key.
Yeah, water is a very critical challenge for Earth because the water determines actually, you know, how you can get crops, but also how you sustain a community and the whole aspect of processing dirty water. We have developed solutions in space, and we have a project, for instance, in space called Melissa, where we process some of the waste. We use some smart bacteria to do some of the work with us. And actually, this is now used in some cities on Earth, some of the solutions we developed in space. Now, of course, water is also critical because the management of water and scarcity can lead to conflict. And so clearly we have to be, and this a lot has to be done also on the ground in the way we establish, you know, how we govern the relation between people. Now we say that some of these challenges we can try to address in space, get communities and technologies working together across different barriers and then apply that to Earth. Now we have also to get the political world as well, partaging, sharing the value of peaceful values of space. And
exactly.
So with this, we have done on the International Space Station for 20 years. But you see now it's under threat because there's some political pressure to use some element of space for geopolitical benefits. So we have to maintain some of the value of universal science, universal benefit, what we can do in space. And I think a good way to contribute to that is to get the people working together already on some project early on, and then talking to each other and establishing also legally space as a peace area and with some rules that are better thought than on Earth.
Yeah, I think that's the point where your dreams of space and diplomacy is coming together. I think that's a very nice conclusion as well for.
Of course, for everybody, space is an area for science, for technology, for business, but also for diplomacy. It was used as a tool, you know, in the even in the Cold War, where some countries was invited to go on the Soviet station to establish some favored link. But it was a way to talk and to act together and to have a peaceful effort. So clinic space can be used for diplomacy that can have individual benefit for a country, but also general benefit. So we should now again have the courage to use space as a diplomacy, like, for instance, space in the middle of the Cold War. There was a mission between Apollo and Soyuz where you had US astronaut and Russian cosmonaut that could meet in space. And this led to, you know, working together. And after, this led to building the International Space Station with US, Russia, Europe, Japan, and Canada. So we have also to be proactive in the way we promote space to for diplomacy that has effect on all of us.
And now we are talking about the Eurospace Hub. So what is for you this Eurospace Hub?
So Eurospace Hub is a great opportunity of trying to make some progress to train the next generation of space researchers, even space astronauts and space entrepreneurs. Astronauts, because I think that all of us, we should be astronauts. We should develop some of the skills of the astronaut, the skill of learning, you know, science, technologies, the skill of intercultural work, teamwork, the skill of resilience, the skill of being the messengers of humankind. So not everybody will go to space, but we can create the spirit in everybody. So train for that. And also, I believe that for space entrepreneurs, they need also to be exposed to space research, to understand what it is, what are the constraints, what we can discover, what are the barriers. Also astronauts to see what are the human aspects of working together in space. And then they can develop even much better and deeper business case for developing jobs and then creating more jobs so that we will engage larger population of space ambassadors in all of our society. So that's a bit how I see your space hub. And it's building on a very nice complementarity between some of the universities that are involved. We have Vilnius, we have Complutense Madrid, we have the International Space University, and we have also some innovator and non-governmental organization like Colabwiz, or like the Lunar Explorer Society, Your Moon Mars. And also, I am trying to bring my 30 plus years of experience with the space world, with the classical ecosystem, where we see, oh, there is a new ecosystem coming up. And I think also, so working with Colabwiz and the other partners, we try to prepare for what the future challenges are and also address some of the needs, sustainable needs that we have now.
What is your role in these first 2 years of this project of Eurospace Hub?
My role as the chair of the Lunar Explorer Society, so it's a non-governmental organization, but that is dealing with a number of space actors, with space agencies, with space academia, space industry, is to bring my experience, my network also of collaborators that I have had in the past. I try also to get the part of space research and space astronautics represented. So we will organize some opportunities of training on project or training through a field simulation or astronautic campaign can really complete the overall fulfillment for a space entrepreneur. But also we will look at the dissemination. So, you know, I like research papers, but we want also to organize a workshop which can be documented. And we look also how we can contribute to the content of what we are going to deliver. So to have a quality and a good space heritage on what we are going to put in the content. And then I'm also looking in helping for the digital platform that Colabwiz is organizing to structure it according to topics, which on one end have a good academic match, but also need to have a extra academic match into what we need for the space industry of tomorrow.
Yeah, totally. But as well, the Eurospace Hub is an innovation ecosystem, like to collaborate all together to make this innovation happen. So what is innovation for you?
Innovation for me, I have been involved in the research, in creation. Innovation is the next step where you can, you know, have the tools to make economical, social benefits, create activities and jobs that can even let creativity, ideas, creativities, initiative, research go even stronger. And so for me, that's how I see that innovation, not only as a tool to create, money and business, but maybe to give some meaningful activities for people where they can also contribute, for example, to the sustainable development of society, but in a sense where they can also create jobs, and we can also hire some new brilliant minds and brilliant people hands-on that can contribute to some of our goals. So we can try to develop it with some of our experience in space industry. But after, this model could be also expanded to other areas of activities. So I think it's like a pilot project at the scale of the partners which are involved. But we tried also to develop a platform that could be expanded because it's digital. So it could be expanded to other areas of the world, also areas of discipline. And we try to get also some opportunities to create jobs and useful activities for Tobias Space in the future.
What is for you collaboration for innovation?
Yeah, so I have been involved in many collaboration for research or on technical project. You know, so even before I joined the space, when I was doing ground-based observations, actually because we were on Earth and we were looking to observe stars 24 hours a day. But we have days. We cannot observe stars during the day. So we tried to put instruments on different parts of the globe. And this way, we could observe stars 24 hours a day. So that's why I brought some experiments to China. We brought some in South Africa. We brought some in Hawaii. And we did that, so 30 years ago. And we got some first discoveries of oscillation of stars or environment, circumstellar system. Because at that time, we didn't have yet a spacecraft that now can do that. Now we have spacecraft that can observe the stars for 6 months without stopping. And with some of these satellites, we could detect thousands of exoplanets, for instance. But before, we did that from the ground. And so we had to collaborate. And then we had also to collaborate internationally, collaborate in different disciplines, also on different technologies. So I have worked on various space missions. So there, at the European Space Agency in particular, we have a collaboration. We have 22 countries. We have research institutes that are the lead into the creation of ideas, instruments, and science you could do with them. But then you have also some industry or some technical institute that have some of the technology. You need to put that together. And sometimes, you know, scientists, engineers, they have a different culture, but I believe that everybody should have a brain of a scientist on one hand, a brain, another brain of an engineer, and a third half brain of a humanist in order to have ability to work together, or emotional intelligence. So that's what Hara is an expert in. So, and this we learn how to work together for collaboration. So all my project before was in this aspect of collaboration, so with innovative ideas, innovative technologies, innovative ways to work together. But it's only recently that I've also tried to develop the aspect of innovation to develop business, because I was working in an agency where we were mostly organized to spend the money, not to
create, to bring the money.
And so only like 12 years ago, I, in the frame of our Human Mars program, I had an office together with the Business Incubation Center office.
In
And this was the precursor one. It was inside the STEC. So I in this office, I was coming with my student and we were talking with all the startup and ideas around. And then I said, yes, it's not enough to do to have new ideas for science, technology. We need also to see how we can create some entrepreneur and develop all these skills also of entrepreneurship. And so now innovation, I'm looking at in a much larger view of innovation ecosystem where you have, yes, some government agencies or research agencies that spend the money, but we need also to create the ability to acquire, you know, not only capital, but also know-how, put the people together and innovating together to develop the ecosystem. So that's what now I'm dedicated to contribute. So it's a bit bigger picture than just working from a research institute or from an agency. But I believe that that's what we need now. And we need to expand that all over in the space world and also in other areas of activities.
You are listening to a Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration.
Now we have the super easy quick questions to finalize the podcast. So, a book. Which kind of book you would like to recommend?
Oh, a book. You know, in my youth, most of the books I read were about poetry and theater and short novels. So, for instance, Baudelaire, or I was also in my youth, I was in a theater band because I studied in the lycée, in the school where Molière was a student in Paris.
Oh, oh my God.
And so we were on stage like he was. And so I played many plays of Molière. And actually, that's the year of Molière this year. I recommend to read books from Molière and to make them available across the culture. So Molière is our Shakespeare in France, but it has a lot to bring. So a book you would like to recommend, yes. So some book of Molière's and poetry also. Garcia Lorca was part of what I was reading as a youth. And when I went to South America, this allowed me also to, I was very much into Latino American literature and poetry.
And the other quick question.
Yes.
Coffee or tea? And which kind of breakfast do you have in the morning?
During most of my career, my breakfast was a fast juice and then taking a coffee break because we had a coffee break at Estec, so where we were meeting colleagues and we were taking the time to talk. Now I take more time to have a good breakfast, so avocado and shrimps.
Shrimps.
And
very Swedish.
Crab salad.
Voilà, yeah, very Swedish breakfast. Yeah.
Tea in the morning. And coffee a bit later, yeah.
Your favorite holidays?
Actually, the holidays is what I think I've had in the since I worked in space. I have the feeling I've been working on my hobby and doing holidays on my whole life, and they paid me for it. So holidays is going on well. And eventually, you know, I had to travel because for astronomical observation, we go to the best place on Earth. So we go to Haute-Provence Observatory, we go to Hawaii, we go to Canarias. So
yeah, that's holidays, yeah.
It's only work. But now I realize that it's important also to take some time off. So yes, I love to travel. And actually, 3 years ago, before the pandemic, I had the opportunity to plan a number of travel where we started. It's always mixed with work. But I had some lectures in Korea, and then I went to China, then we went to Hong Kong, then we went to Singapore, where I met my sister, which is living in Australia. And so we had it's a mixture where you go to places because you work there, and this is where you meet some of the colleagues in their environment, and then also they guide you around and to discover what is around. So I like this type of holidays with a bit of work, and sometimes now with the pandemics, we are spending a lot of time at home, So we reorganize also our time at home so that we are in Holland, which is a very sunny place. When the sun is out, you have 15 minutes, you can go in the garden and you can go take the sun in the garden.
15 minutes.
15 minutes. You go in the garden, take a bit of the sun, I take the guitar and I can read also. I like very much to read a book with in sunlight. And now we decided that we are going to spend some good holidays in the Netherlands. It's a nice place for summer holidays.
So the last point now for this podcast, how can students join the analog missions from Euromoon Mars? So what they have to do?
Yeah, so Euromoon Mars, it's an open community and it's based on various projects. So we have some project on data analysis. For instance, it's good for students which are, for instance, looking for a master thesis. Yes. For a number of months, we have a number of projects where they can do analysis of data, also develop instruments to test them. Now we have also organizing some short missions, like we organize the isolation moon-based mission in Poland or in Hawaii base. But I think I would recommend to start joining us, expressing interest. So, send me an email or contact some of the colleagues that I have followed some of this mission. They are in various universities. And then we invite you. We have a plenary meeting every Friday at 5 o'clock where we introduce all the newcomers. And then we have a subgroup, those that do a campaign like in Poland, or we had a campaign in Chile, or you can do that and join the group. And for a long-term internship, yes, you are welcome to send your interest and then we can share a CV, see what fits you well. Now, I want also to advertise that we have also some funding where we can give some grants to some of the young professionals that want to take some leadership roles or coordination roles in how we analyze data, we develop instruments, we organize campaign. We want also now to develop a better tool for our internal community to talk to each other and to work. And we want also to hire somebody that will help us to develop some of the goals that we have put into Euro's Space Hub. So organizing a workshop and events, and also organizing some of the curriculum and also developing this dissemination through articles. Because also, in order to be recognized by the academic community, now we need also to have some good numbers of publications. This helps as well in the next phase where we are going to apply for research funds.
Yeah.
So for this, it's important to have a publication.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bernard Foyn, Professor Foyn. So this is the first podcast we are doing actually for the Eurospace Hub podcast. So we are going to have every month a podcast. And I think this is very interesting because then, you know, if you want to become an astronaut or you want to start and kick off your career in the space, you know how. I think it's very important to have these role models, these conversations to understand how it works. You know, you have not a book like it's telling you, okay,
about the book,
Professor Foyn,
thinking about the book, of course, the book I want to recommend is the one we are going to write together.
Exactly.
Because we have to share some experience. I mean, the book from my childhood are great and so on. And so everybody should have a library also of unread books. So because that's important. When I was doing theater, my professor of theater told me, you need only two things in life, nature and genius. So you need to go in the nature to feed yourself. And also you need to read the work of the genius in literature, in science and so on. And this is really, really true. And so, yes. And we have to give that back. So I have edited a number of scientific books, like 10 books. You can all find them on Amazon on the specific topics. But clearly, some book on our Eurospace Up experience, that's the one I would recommend that we should write.
We will make it. We will make it, yeah, Bernard. So thank you very much, Bernard.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
All the best.
Thank you for listening to our Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration. Please share this podcast with your space friends and leave comments on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or on Stitcher. See you next month for another story and interview. In the meantime, you can learn more about us on www.eurospacehub.com.